This episode of Sports Spectrum's podcast with Danny Gokey is presented by Compassion International. And if you're looking for a place, a ministry to sow into, if you're thinking, man, how can I help someone in need? I mean, it's close to Thanksgiving. We're thinking about what does that look like to be thankful for all that we have and then to give back and help someone else who may not be as thankful or maybe hurting or in need. Well, Compassion is that place, Compassion International, the most trusted child development ministry in the world. We're talking about kids that are stuck in poverty. We're talking about kids that are in many ways living without hope. And because of the pandemic, 70,000 kids in the Compassion programs were in desperate need of help and potentially stuck without a sponsorship. And you guys have been hearing me tell you about Fill the Stadium in this initiative with our pro athlete friends and Compassion. And now is the time to get in on this because we are so close to reaching our goal of 70,000 kids who are left in desperate need of help. So check out fillthestadium.com to learn more right now and to pray and to donate and help these kids and their families in poverty. fillthestadium.com with Compassion International. fillthestadium.com.
Welcome to Sports Spectrum, where we bring Jesus back into the conversation. Here's your host, former ESPN producer, Jason Romano.
And welcome, everyone, to Sports Spectrum's podcast. I am Jason Romano. We are so glad that you tuned into our show today. You can reach me via email, jason@sportsspectrum.com. That's my email address, jason@sportsspectrum.com. And, of course, our website, sportsspectrum.com. That's the place to go, really, every single day for all of the content that we have here at Sports Spectrum, articles, devotionals, podcasts. It's all free and it's all available right there at sportsspectrum.com. We got a great conversation today with Danny Gokey, singer and songwriter, American Idol finalist. Now, if you listen to stations like K-Love or Air One, you know Danny Gokey's name because I would venture to say at least once an hour on K-Love, I'm going to hear a Danny Gokey song. He's got a lot of famous ones, including Tell Your Heart to Beat Again, Stand in Faith is a new one that he's got out, Hope in Front of Me, Love God, Love People was out a couple years ago. He's got some amazing songs. He's got a really incredible story. He was on American Idol in early 2009, and geez, I think he said it was a month before he went on an audition for that show that his wife died. His first wife, Sophia, had passed away. They were married for just a few years, I think 4 years. And then his wife passes away and he goes on American Idol and it just blows up. I mean, he is the third placed finalist and is there all the way pretty much to the end. I went back and watched on YouTube the finale for American Idol that year and he didn't win it, but he was on there. And Adam Lambert was on it, and Chris Allen, I think, was the one that won it that year. But Danny Gokey was performing with Lionel Richie, and 30 million people watched the finale of American Idol in May of 2009. So Danny Gokey suddenly was thrusted into the spotlight and then decided and initially went into country music, but made a decision in 2014 to pivot towards contemporary Christian music. And that's where you've seen and heard him if you listen to stations like K-Love. He's got a tremendous amount of songs out there that are really encouraging and help a lot of people. I know they've helped many of us in my family for sure. He is a dynamite musician. He's also a sports fan, a football fan. We talk about his love for the Green Bay Packers in a little bit. We have a little Aaron Rodgers discussion as well. You'd be surprised, though, at who he thinks the GOAT is. He does not think the greatest quarterback of all time is Aaron Rodgers as a Packers fan, and he'll tell you who he thinks that is coming up in our conversation. And he has a new album out right now. It's called Jesus People. It was released in August, and it's out now, and he's touring, and we got to catch him on tour from a hotel room, I think, like an office room, to talk about all that's been going on in Danny Gokey's life. This was a treat for me because I'm a big Danny fan of his music. And we've been connecting on social media a little bit. And finally, we were able to get this podcast on the books. So take a listen to Danny Gokey, singer and songwriter, joining us here today on Sports Spectrum. Danny Gokey. You're here today on the show. What's up, brother? How you doing?
Man, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me a part of this podcast. We're on tour right now, so I'm in a little room right now on the venue that we're playing show night, but happy to talk to you.
Yeah, man. I'm so glad that we were able to connect. Thank the Lord for like Zoom, which yes. If we could all go back to February of 2020, we would all be millionaires if we invested in Zoom. But thank the Lord for Zoom, right? This is our ability to be able to talk.
Zoom is the new office, right?
Yeah. You can't do your job, though. And I have to imagine last year, in fact, we were just talking before we started recording. You were coming up to Connecticut, where I live, to do a show at one of the churches around here. And you invited me. And I was like, yeah, I want to go see you. I haven't seen you in person. And so I was all set. You were all set, it sounded like. And then that was right when it started and everything got kind of the rug got pulled out of everything. Everything got shut down. Do you remember that driving up to Connecticut?
I do. Listen, we piled on the bus earlier that day because it's a really long drive from Nashville, especially on a bus. You have to fit in extra time because it's not as easy to maneuver as a car. They don't go as fast as cars. It's a little bit slower. Right. And so we drove and we had to take, so there's a lot of laws behind the drivers. So we had two drivers. And so we did multiple drives between the two drivers to get there and spent a lot of money getting there just for a few hours before the show canceling. And that was pretty tough, a tough pill to swallow. But I will tell you this, that I actually, Zoom literally did become a place in 2020 where I sang a lot of songs over Zoom. Everything just went south. And so everything pivoted and I'd have a guitar player with me and we'd be singing songs and keeping some engagements. People would actually book us over Zoom for their offices or their group homes just to sing some songs of hope.
I mean, it doesn't really matter what the audience is, although I have to imagine the fact that you're on tour right now and playing in front of actual people, that can't be replicated. In fact, I'll tell you this, 2 weeks before the pandemic, I had seen Jeremy Camp and Mercy Me at a venue here in Connecticut. And that was the last event I had went to for over a year. There was 3,000 people, probably 2,000 people maybe at that place. And maybe it was a little less, I don't know. But just the fact that we were all packed in 13 days, 12 days before everything shut down. And then 2020 was such a, oh my gosh, such a crazy year. What was it like for you kind of doing, you know, you got to spend time with your family, which is always good, but your job is also your job. Describe 2020, if you could. There's so much there, right? I don't want to go into all of the other things that we could go into, but just 2020 was such an interesting year for a person who does the work like you do.
So I remember walking on the bus to go to that show, that very first show that canceled. And the thought that came to me, I didn't speak it verbally, but I thought this, I wish I could just stay home for some time and enjoy my family and enjoy my property. We live on some land. I just want to go outside and just enjoy the land. And little did I know that I would be getting that wish would come true. And I really did enjoy the time home. I really enjoyed it with my family, with my kids. It's not what they were saying. It's what they weren't saying that I started to pay attention to. And meaning that their behavior fully improved when I was around more. So it really reshaped the way that I thought about my career, how I move forward in the future. But also another side effect, and I hope a lot of people of faith, start realizing, hey, things are starting to happen and Jesus is coming back soon.
Yeah.
And so I begin to start reading the book of Revelation, trying to figure out what chapter I'm in, right? Yes. Like this is starting to happen and starting to progress. And what is the most important thing right now, right? We're going to keep living, right? We have to keep living, but how do we make this living count? And how do we become more effective? That's really the thought that started, that started churning in my mind.
So you're wearing the hat, Jesus people, the sweatshirt, Jesus people. You got the new album out, Jesus people. It released August 2021.
Yeah.
I have to imagine a lot of that album was written during that time in 2020, because I know it takes a while. It's not like you write an album and you have it out, you know, in a week or two, although you can turn it around probably a lot quicker today than maybe 10, 20 years ago. But there is a lot that goes into putting an album together and the writing of the songs and the recording. Did you write a lot of this, I would imagine, last year?
Oh, yeah. Every single song that's on the record, I had a hand in, because it's, for instance, one of the songs off the record is called We All Need Jesus. And as I'm sitting down, first of all, we watched this pandemic unfold. And then in the summertime, so we start seeing a lot of civil unrest and a lot of, you know, just a lot of uproar, buildings burn, you know, civilians, you know, versus the police, police versus civilians. And that started breaking my heart. And I'm like, how do I approach this? And one of the things, I'm very opinionated. You know, we all are, as humans, we're taught that way. I think social media really helps us learn how to be really opinionated. It gives everyone a voice. I mean, that's the good thing about social media. It gives everyone a voice, but it's also the bad thing. Not everyone needs a voice, because a lot of, you know, immature voices are speaking as well. And so I'm diving through my own immaturity, diving through my own voice. And We All Need Jesus was a song, because you were so quick to point a finger, to judge things from our point of view. You know, the things that we say, they it makes a lot of trouble, right? And so when I started realizing that we all need Jesus, that I can sit there and point a finger at people, but I'm just as bad without Jesus as someone else is. I mean, that's where songs were birthed from, this record. Mm-hmm. And that's one of them. And it's a very, I did it in Spanish and English. I released music in English and in Spanish. And so it was just one of those things that really, that was like probably one of the first songs I wrote for the record, was that one.
Wow. I saw, you know, as I'm going through, you know, my research and things like that, and I don't watch a ton of videos anymore from music. You know, I mean, I'm a kid of the 80s, you know, I'm a 73. I was born in 1973. So I grew up in the era of MTV, and then in the 90s, even still there. And then once we got to, I don't know, 2000 and whatever, middle 2000s, music videos seem to go away. YouTube has brought them back, but I mostly just listen to songs. I'm a Spotify guy. But as I'm doing my research, I'm like, let me just see what Danny's been putting out lately. And I go, and I knew the song Stand in Faith, but then I go and watch the video, and I said, oh, that's a really powerful video. Like, that's a song that's powerful, but the video itself told a different story, even in some ways, than the song, because of the visual component to it. Videos, though, just made me think about that, Danny, and think about, you know, how important is that for you when you're releasing an album to also go this route? Because I know a lot of musicians may not release a video. They'll just put the song out there or the lyrics version of it and just let it live that way. But this looked like it was filmed and shot in a way that was well thought out. It was pretty cool to see.
I appreciate that. You know, storytelling, all the visuals, all the senses, right? You want to engage them. It's like when you go to a modern day church now, I mean, you have a concert experience. Yeah. You know, that's one of, because they're engaging all the visuals. Now, at times, it evokes something out of someone, and that's the goal with music, is to get beyond the brain, right? And because the brain, the eyes go right to the brain, right? You're trying to bypass the brain, because the brain can just overthink things. You're trying to get to the heart, and I think visual does that. It goes past that. And then, you know, the video for Stand in Faith, that one is about a guy who loses his wife. I mean, it's, you just see him at the funeral, and then you see him having to pick himself up, dealing with anger, dealing with, you know, the unknown, but yet going back to work. And since he has this, and this, the video doesn't spell this out, but this is the heart behind it. Since he knows that God works everything out together for the good, he doesn't stay in that place of anger. He doesn't stay in the bitterness. He doesn't stay in the resentment. He's realizing that every day is a step closer to a turn in the page and a new chapter. And so he's able, even in his own brokenness and his own pain, to serve people. He works at a restaurant. He's a waiter. And he's able to, in that moment, begin to help other people see past his own pain and see people in their pain. And it's really cool. I kind of like that. And it really is a visual of my own personal story. I had a walk through that. That is my story. Yeah. I was working at a restaurant when my first wife passed away. I was working at Cheesecake Factory. And I just, now my story's a little different. I quit my job at Cheesecake Factory because I was not about to go back to work. Yeah. But at that moment, but I did eventually have to pick myself up. And that's where I tried out for American Idol. I picked up for American Idol, and I had to just say, God, you're going to work this all out.
Yeah. It, the video is a powerful one. The album is great. Jesus People. It released back in August and it's out now, and you're touring and you're out on the road, which has to be awesome. Just seeing an audience again and being and playing in front of people has to be wonderful, I would imagine.
It is. And there's a new sense of mission inside of me. I have a mission I'm on. And that is to, more than ever before, you know, that is to tell people about Jesus, right? But not bang their head with it, because, you know, we like to really entertain people. We like to sing, but it is to creatively, it's like when Acts talks about you'll become witnesses when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. We're just retelling. A witness just retells the events. And through song, I'm just retelling what he did. It's not about trying to, like I said, hammer people over the head. This is just our story. We're retelling it, and people are being touched by it.
Danny Gokey is our guest here on Sports Spectrum, and people might be listening like, all right, where's the sports, Romano? Let me just say this. We're going to talk a little bit of sports here, but Danny has such a great story, and I'm just curious. As a sports guy, I've been around sports for a long time.
Yeah,
I love it when I get to meet musicians, because there's a lot of similarities, I think, in the lifestyle of a musician and the lifestyle of an athlete, and the fact that most athletes desire to be musicians, most musicians desire to be athletes. I mean, that's just the truth. But I'm just fascinated with your story. I will ask you this. I mean, being born in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, we talked about it a little bit before we started recording. I have to imagine the Green Bay Packers become a lifestyle in most people's homes who are in Wisconsin. Was that the way for you?
So growing up, it wasn't that way. My dad watched boxing. And I remember thinking like, that's, so I didn't get into sports until my sister's boyfriend years ago. I'm like 19 years old and he starts watching Packers all the time. And I just get hooked. I'm like, why am I not watching this? And you know, because when you don't know much about it, you don't know how to interpret the game. But football to me is one of the most interesting games. And it's, I don't know, there's just that competitiveness is just, it's inspiring almost. I mean, on my tours, if people come on my tours, one thing they're going to know is that we're going to play basketball. Like, I just like playing. So last night we were up
okay.
After the show, we finished about 10:30. We started balling out from 10:30 to 11:30, 11:45. And then we hopped in the showers, got on the bus and moved to our next city. But people know that's what we do every tour. And Sundays are one of my favorite days on tour, because I just, a lot of times my shows can sometimes, depending on what side of the country you're on, I'll have to record the Packer game before I go on stage. And I'll warn everyone within an inch of their life, do not touch the remote. I'll hide the remote. Do not touch the TV. None of that stuff. Don't do any of those things.
Okay. So it gets a little serious. I love this.
It does, because football means a lot to me. I'll tell you that. And what's interesting is that I feel different, because I'm not huge into college football. And I know like that's one of the most popular sports in the world is college football.
Oh yeah.
And I know the guys have a lot of heart, but I haven't nailed down my team. I know I'm supposed to be a Badger fan, and I know that there's a lot of rivalry between, you know, Ohio, Wisconsin, and there's a lot of big rivalries, but I got to learn about this and get educated about it so I can, you know, be effective in watching it.
Right. No, I get it. It's fascinating that it's your sister's boyfriend that happens to be turning on the Packers. I would imagine Brett Favre was the quarterback, because he was a quarterback forever. And you get hooked on the Packers, and Brett Favre's there, and then Aaron Rodgers is there, and they've been the only two quarterbacks for 30 years with the Packers. So have you met a lot of cheeseheads and been able to kind of express your fandom to some of the fans of yours throughout playing? Maybe you playing in your hometown or anything like that, and be able to meet some football fans that way?
Well, first of all, I'm the guy who in the mall, if I'm in a different state and I see someone with a Packers jersey, I go, go Packers. So I'm that guy who.
Oh, you're that guy. Okay.
In the airport. And some of my band will laugh at me, because I'll just, and I think people are unexpected, but when I see a Packers jersey, I feel like I need to like salute.
Yeah.
Because it means a lot to me. Also going back, like, so in Wisconsin, yeah, what's interesting is there's a lot of Packer fans all over the United States. Now that might become shocking to people.
No, they travel very well, Danny. Very well. There's a
get together in Nashville that I've been invited to, and I hear a lot. I haven't gone, but is that when the Packers play, there's this place that everyone goes and meets and watches. I don't know, it's like a sports bar or something like that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I remember when I saw Aaron Rodgers play his first game, Favre got hurt and they subbed him in. I was blown away. And I'm not a guy who's calling out sports figures, but I remember that game saying, man, watch out for Aaron Rodgers. He shot bullets. Like, right, even when he was sitting the bench and just filling in for Favre, he was shooting. He was throwing missiles at people.
Yes.
And I will say this. I was really torn up about how I felt about him this year. And maybe this is TMI, but I was really concerned about how he, you know, his I can't say attitude, like his just sense of his demeanor, because he's got a lot of pressure from, he is a celebrity. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He is a lot of weight. Unfortunately, in that world, there's so much celebrity attached to it, and celebrities never helped anyone for the most part become a better human being, you know? And so I started seeing from when I first met him in 2009 to where he is today. And I was like, man, is he going to be 100%? Because I know there's a lot of pressure on the team with him, the players, but it looks like so far so good. And I'm praying that he has the ultimate comeback. But I'm going to go up and upset everyone. My favorite quarterback is Tom Brady. I love watching Brady. I think Brady is the GOAT.
I would agree.
I look for his games, to watch his games. I'm actually, at this point, I became a fan of Brady in, what's it, 2017 Super Bowl, where there was like 28-3.
Yeah, against Atlanta. Yep.
Atlanta was supposed to be the ones, like, I mean, it was been what, 1,000 years since they won but when Brady came back after that halftime, I was just a fan. Like, we're watching history unfold, people. No room for hate. Let's watch this unfold, and let's all be a part of history so we can be witnesses and retell to our children about the greatest quarterback that ever was.
Yeah, the greatest comeback ever, too. I mean, it still hasn't been matched when you look about 28-3 in the Super Bowl and to come back and win it. And I think he was only 40 at that time. When I say only 40, he's 44 now, and he's still, like, the best quarterback in the league. So it's kind of ridiculous that
you know what made it kind of funny is that I had a friend reach out to me because I had just written a song called The Comeback. That was, yes, I wrote it already. And me and my friend hopped on the phone that night, one of the writers, her name is Cameron James. And I go, did you see that? I said, we're writing a song that, like, literally is prophetic. I said, here comes a comeback. It's the greatest comeback. And so I was really excited to release my song. I didn't tell anyone about this, but I was like, man, it was written, recorded. It was just about to come out in January, later that month, a week or two after the Super Bowl. And I was like, oh man, I think
people
writing, yeah, the right songs right now.
Yeah, a lot of people Googling comeback, and there's Tom Brady, and then there's Danny Gokey right below it on the Google search. That's not so bad.
Is that, well, I hope that's what it is.
I don't know what it is. I'm just guessing if you're searching the word comeback, I mean, especially at that time, right?
I'll just believe that right now.
Yeah, there you go, Danny. I love it. I did ask this. I've had a lot of musicians on this show, very, very fortunate to talk to people I'm sure that you're friends with, because I know, especially in the faith circles, a lot of the musicians are close friends. They all work together and they understand there's a greater purpose in the work that you all do. And people like Matthew West have been on this show, and Mike Donaghy recently was just on from 10th Avenue North. And I asked both of those guys, I've asked this to Bart Millard as well. Is there a story that you have? It's either meeting an athlete or, and you said you met Aaron Rodgers, you kind of glanced over that, so maybe that's it, but meeting an athlete or finding out an athlete listens and enjoys your music. And they all had a different answer, a unique answer. But I thought there might be something there, knowing that certainly, like I said, the sports world and the music world collide quite a bit. Have you had an experience like that?
The problem is, which experience am I going to talk about?
Oh, I like it. You pick.
I am totally playing. That was really was meant to be a joke, because the one that comes to mind, I've heard, but I don't know. The one that sticks out to me the most, because is when I was on American Idol, mm-hmm. And I got a video that was sent to American Idol, and the producers come up to me and they said, there's some people that want to send you a message. And it was three of the Packers. I forget which one. I know Aaron Rodgers was one of them and more. And they literally filmed the video for me in their Packers gear. And they were just telling me how much they loved watching me every week. And they were rooting me on. And that really meant a lot. And so I met Aaron just a few months after that. And I got to tell you, he was the humblest guy.
That's cool.
He was just so kind, so humble, so, you know, like, just like, wow, this guy is really down to earth. Not that I was looking to see if he was humble or not. I just remember I had no set expectations when I was going to meet him. He just was that way. Right.
Right.
And so that's, and maybe that's why I have more of an opinion on Aaron Rodgers. You know what I mean? Because I remember that beginning guy of Aaron Rodgers, and he's so talented. He's so great. And to see the pressure he's under and how that's, I don't think it's been a blessing. I think he's had to wade through a lot of water. And so this year, as I've been watching, I'm like, all right, how is he going to do this year? Because these athletes have so much pressure. I just can't keep, you kind of wish that the media would leave them alone so that they can be in peak performance, right?
Yeah.
Being carried away of a celebrity and that everything in your life is being documented. It takes it comes with the territory, and I'm sure it weighs on a lot of these athletes, but that's my most fond experience. But I think, like I said, I'm hoping the Packers go all the way this year.
Well, there you go.
Yeah,
maybe you'll get some more videos sent to your way. Who knows, Danny, right?
I hope so.
Well, you touched on something there with celebrity, because, and you've mentioned American Idol, believe it or not, we haven't even gone there. And this might be the first interview you've ever done where, you know, we're 20 minutes into a conversation and you weren't asked about American Idol, but that's honestly where I first saw you. I'm just like, I'm sure a lot of people, my wife and I used to watch that show when our daughter was little. And there's Danny Gokey, you know, number three finisher on American Idol in 2009. And a few years later, we're listening to Caleb coming home from church one day, and there's one of your songs. And I'm like, that's the same Danny Gokey. And suddenly this music that's coming out is Jesus music. But you have this unique story of celebrity, you know, when you're appearing on a show like American Idol. I went back and looked, there's 30 million people that watched the finale where you and Lionel Richie were doing a duet on that season show. And I'm thinking, that's an incredible amount of people to be watching TV, to watch a show, and to know who you are. How do you think you've dealt with that as you've evolved over the years in terms of that celebrity, the celebrity that you kind of just harped on with Aaron Rodgers? What's that been like? Because I hate the word too, but it's a real word. People know it, that a lot of people know who you are. A lot of people follow, you know, you on social media or listen to your music. What has that been like, kind of the evolution of that, having been known since, what, not 2008, 2009, who you are?
I think celebrity is, so when I got my first taste of it being on the show, it felt so good, right? Like, and being that I just walked through a really dark season 1 month before the show, like redeeming in a sense, like, wow, when I thought life was over, look at, like, a dream is being born. And I remember, like, I would love when people would inconvenience me. And because I remember when the show aired and I was at Cheesecake Factory with some friends from my worship team, I got interrupted in that meal 25 times while I was at just people taking pictures. You're that guy. You're that guy.
And you loved it.
I loved it.
Yeah.
And here's the thing, though, is that you don't love it as much as life progresses, right? Because you always have to be turned on. In a sense, you always have to be in the on switch. And sometimes you could just get hit with devastating news or get hit with some, or have a rough morning with your wife and you're at a store and someone interrupts you and you got to go right to on mode. And this is why, like I said, it is a pressure. No one is meant to be adored in worship nonstop. I think it has a negative effect. So anyways, through the years, I've had to learn how to really, when people compliment me, let it not stick in me and let it go through me, you know, because the minute you start believing your own hype is the minute, you know, you I guess you stop listening to people and you start elevating your own. And I think a lot of this is subconscious. I tell my wife this all the time. How is this celebrity when I'm in signing lines and people are telling me how much they love me and how much their music has affected me? I try not to keep that, but how much is that affecting my psyche? And how much of that is making me think that I do a lot of things right? And I don't know if this is making sense. I'm kind of processing now.
No, I think it makes a lot of sense.
I just don't think we're made for that. And so when I'm talking about other football players, they have it on multiplied scales. Like, you know, the famous quarterbacks and the players and the wide receivers and all these people, they're documenting who they're going out with the lady that they're dating. They're documenting the breakups. They're documenting the mistakes, and it's going publicly. It gets to a point where it's overwhelming. And then you get to, I hear this all the time from people, and I know they mean well, but if they only knew how much it's, oh man, I really didn't know how you're going to be. I was really wondering, but I'm glad you're nice. And you sit there and think like, man, if this was a bad day, you'd have been telling everybody how horrible of a human I was. Right?
Yes.
And I just don't think that's a very fair. Then you have other people. Well, you took this place. You wanted it. Your choice. So you now lay in the bed you made. I understand that. But I don't think when people say that, I think it comes from a place of envy too.
Sure.
Yeah. When they say a statement like that, because that's not a loving statement. That is. So anyways, I'm kind of just like unpacking this thing. But anyways, I do think that if God does elevate you, that there is a grace for it and that you have to embrace that grace and you have to be intentional. I'll tell you this. It's intentionality is key if you're under the spotlight, right? Because people, if they follow me on social media, they know that I'm not a pushover and I'm not a person that just swallows a narrative. I push back a little bit. Now, I don't do it every day, but and then people will put, you just need to be singing. You know what? And they think because I'm a singer, I'm not allowed to have an opinion.
Well, it's with the athletes too. Stick to sports is what you hear a lot. Stick to sports. Yeah.
Right. And people have their preferences and people have their own convictions. And I think you do a disservice if you don't share that. Because I'm more than just an entertainer and a little clown to bring entertainment to you, right? And yeah, them as well. Now, like I said, they're on a level that's levels above. But, you know, I think social media now is bringing this home to everybody, right? People are gaining platforms and they're starting to have a voice. I just think one of the most key things when I look to listen to a voice from a celebrity is I look for character first.
Yes. Right?
Yeah. Your gift can... It is what it is. It's a gift. God gave it to you, right? My singing is a gift. And did I have to develop it? Yes. Did these gifted athletes, did they have to put some work into it? Yeah. They didn't come out the womb catching, you know, shooting 3 points, and they had to develop it. But nonetheless, it was a gift. So now in celebrity culture, character shines through. So I can tell who I'm going to listen to, but how they really are, their character versus them just balling out and now they got something to say, right?
Yeah, or arrogance. The arrogance versus the character, I think, is where you're talking about. And you can tell that even in the social media world, you can tell that right away. It's interesting because that's how you and I met, quite frankly, you know, through social media on Twitter. And, you know, we ended up kind of following each other a little bit. And I've known about you for a long time and know a lot of people who know you. And we connected and you do have a voice on social media, but you can just sense that. You know, you talked about a lot of people going through a lot of things. I got one story as we wind down and I want to share. I remember, I think it was 3 years ago, my wife was still driving into the office. She hasn't gone to the office in a couple of years. She works for an insurance company. And she texted me one afternoon. She's like, I'm sitting in the parking lot listening to Tell Your Heart to Beat Again by Danny Gokey. And I'm crying. She's like, it's really hard. My job is just overwhelming right now. And I remember that's not like my wife. She's not like the most like, you know, emotional person having moments like that. Mm-hmm. And I'll never forget that moment because it allowed me to see her just kind of say, I can't do this anymore. Put on this sort of whatever it is, facade, or just deal with the pressures or whatever was in that moment for her. And it made me think of, as I was talking to you, to share that story, but also to kind of go a little bit deeper in terms of a lot of people over the last 18 months are kind of overwhelmed. And maybe that song can be an encouragement for them if they haven't heard it and they're listening to the show. But what is that encouragement that you would have right now for those that are exhausted, that are tired, that are just going through it? And, you know, social media is just, can be exhausting as well. If all you gotta do is turn on the TV and it's just, there's so much going on, it can really drive you to a terrible place. What's the encouragement that you would have?
One thing that I've had to do, because I get sucked in to this hole, right? I mean, we're seeing a lot of disunity. We're seeing outright, like, we're being lied to a lot of times from different people, and we're seeing agendas. What do we do, right? Yeah. When we see, like, when we know something is wrong, you know what I do? I put my phone down, I turn off the TV, and I go out. Because what social media, what the news has done with these 24-hour cycles is they've brought every problem of the world into your backyard. And they're indicting us and saying, what are you going to do about it, right? And we all feel like that the fight has come to our front steps. We didn't ask for this fight. They brought the fight to us. So what I do is I put that down and I look in my realm of influence and where I live, and I say, none of this is happening where I live.
Right.
Everyone gets along, every race. And I live in a multicultural home. My wife is Latina. I'm a white boy who learned how to speak Spanish because I've been around so many Hispanics my whole life. I speak Spanish. I release songs in Spanish. My kids speak Spanish. My in-laws are with me. They only speak Spanish. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's just a small picture of my life. I'm not seeing none of that. And so one thing that we have to do is to say, you know what? This really isn't happening. Is it happening in parts of the world? Yes. I am only responsible for my world and what that looks like. And when my neighbor's hurting, I help my neighbor, right?
Right, yes.
We see them hurting. When we see suffering in our form of influence, we get involved. Me and my wife, we intentionally get involved when we see problems, but we don't have to join the fight. It, you know, what does Proverbs say? Like, meddling in a fight that's not your own is like pulling a dog by its ears, right? That's what we look like when we're on each other's front porch on Instagram, each other's front porch. That doesn't mean that we can't say anything, right? But it means that we can put it down sometimes and say, you know what? Life is so beautiful. It's so beautiful. And I think as a father, what I've had to do with my home, because I'm in charge of my home, is that when I see someone on social media saying X, Y, Z, I have to remember that that's only a small piece of the pie. The problem is when that small piece of the pie, so let's say there's the whole pie in my hand and it's just this right here. I have to remember that that's just one small part of the picture. There's all this. So I have to filter that so that this thing can be the biggest thing that we see right now and the most pressing thing and can make this disappear. But as a father, I'd say, yes, I know that's what they're saying. But I said, here's the whole picture. We cannot get lost in the little sliver of the pie when here's the whole pie. So this is why we don't fear when I talk to my kids. We don't fear because I know that person, that's their reality. And yeah, that's a real thing that they're going through. But what we can't be fully consumed like that because the whole picture looks like this. Does that make sense without going into details?
Yeah, it does. Because I think all you got to say is, you know, it's your backyard. What's happening in your backyard? Is there dissension in your backyard? Okay, that's what you have to worry about. Is it dissension from a macro level? I don't know. I mean, I'm kind of the same way. When we go up here in Connecticut, which can be viewed from the outside world as a certain way or a certain type, there's people from all different areas who believe all different sorts of things that come together on a Friday night at my daughter's high school and root for the football team. And we're all high-fiving and it's, you know, we come together and get together for the Bristol, Connecticut, you know, parade that we just had a couple of weeks ago. Like, and nobody's sitting there yelling at anybody. We're just getting along because we're here to serve each other and love each other. I mean, I don't know. It makes sense to me, man, because I don't want to go down a hole where I know I could go with you and we could just have this long conversation about a lot of things. Let's just say that. But it is something I think that you make a lot of sense on when you say that. So thank you for sharing.
Literally, What are we magnifying? That's the question.
Right.
Take the magnifying glass away and look at the whole picture without the magnifying glass. So that's my whole thing, is that I feel like perspective is just key in how we embrace issues. Now, and then let's go to the last part, prayer. Man, God, you got the whole world in your hands, right?
Right. Yeah.
So I give you my cares, because we're not meant to carry that. That would be the last part, I would say.
I mean, it's got to be our first resort, not our last resort. You know, that's what I tell people. Our first line of defense has to be prayer. Danny Gokey, listen, I know I'm taking up a lot of your time. Let me ask you one last question here, and this will be it. If you could pick your perfect sports day, and it may be what you just described, playing basketball after you're touring, but if you could pick a perfect sports day, and it could mean you playing sports, it could mean you watching it, you can be at a stadium, you could be with your kids, whatever that might look like, what's Danny Gokey's perfect sports day?
It is playing sports, whether it's football. Our last tour in the spring, we brought a football out and we were able to throw the football on. Granted, it's a little difficult at night because you have to rely on the lights outside when you're playing football at 10:30 at night. Yeah. Playing football or basketball, I love playing sports, and I'm not good, but I have so much heart.
I like it. I used to play ball all the time, and then I hit 45 and I said, my knees are hurting. I don't think I can do this much anymore, but I love to play basketball. If you come up to Connecticut, I will come out of retirement and we'll play some pickup. How's that sound?
Dude, we need to do that. I'm
all in. Let's do it. Danny, thanks for being here, my friend. Congrats on the new album, Jesus People. Enjoy the tour. It's great to be sort of back to normal with seeing you and the likes of others out on tour, and hopefully we'll connect again soon. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah. And thank you to everyone thanks for having me. And thanks to everyone who listened. Appreciate you taking the time, and hope that they get something out of it. Maybe they will, maybe they won't.
Hopefully they were entertained for a little while. I appreciate you, brother. Thanks.
Yeah.
And super grateful for Danny Gokey being here today on Sports Spectrum. I had the privilege of connecting with him on social media and really appreciated that he said yes. I love his passion for the Green Bay Packers. I love that he wants to play basketball after every show. If I was about 10 years younger, I'd be doing that with him, because I used to play ball all the time. Used to play at the Y, used to be in some church leagues, used to even play in an ESPN league when I was there. I love playing hoops. I just got older and my knees couldn't take it anymore, so I decided to stop, and now I'm in my late 40s. I miss it, but I don't miss the pain that I was in pretty much every day after I played basketball the next day. I could barely walk some mornings, so I kind of figured that was the time to stop doing that. But I miss playing ball, and Danny's a little younger than me, so he can play, hopefully can play a little bit longer, certainly than I was able to do. But I appreciate Danny for being here on the show. He was great. So great to connect with him through social. I'm glad he said yes to join us today on Sports Spectrum's podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. We appreciate you for tuning in. Before we say goodbye, please go check out our website, sportsspectrum.com, a great place for all of our content. And when you get there, click that newsletter icon that's at the top of the website page, and you can put your email address in there. And when you do that, you'll sign up for our weekly newsletter, and we have a free gift to send you, a little 10-day daily devotional written by professional athletes on their faith that can come directly to you as a PDF sort of ebook available for free at sportsspectrum.com. When you click the newsletter icon, you put your email address in, you'll get the free gift, and you'll sign up for our weekly newsletter. So do that, sportsspectrum.com. Then whatever app you're listening to this podcast on, click subscribe so that you never miss an episode going forward. And if you're new to Sports Spectrum, welcome. We're so glad that you tuned into our podcast today. Like I said, clicking subscribe is the best way to never miss an episode of Sports Spectrum's podcast. 2 to 3 to 4 episodes every single week, brand new, so that you can listen to them and you can potentially send them to other people. Use it as a resource, maybe to share faith with other people. Please do that. Consider doing that. And thank you again for tuning in. We love you guys. Have a great rest of your day. Tune in next time, and we'll see you then.